each one tonight. Give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And it's a cold night, but the Lord bless those that's made an effort to come out tonight. We've been looking through the book of 1 Samuel, and then last week I shared about David and the anointing, and didn't really get finished last week on that. And we're looking at several things about the anointing, all how it was made, and to be made of principal spices, and it was to be compounded together. And there's several other things I want to mention about it. What's to be done with it and what's not to be done with it. And I really got into this a bit more, and I put down some headings, and I'm just trusting the Lord will help us with that as we go into tonight. And I want to share this bit on the holy anointing oil again this evening, and then maybe the next service we'll go back into the book of Samuel. It's all inspired from the book of Samuel, all this, because this is about David. Let's turn to Exodus. I want to read from Exodus tonight. We read this last week, but I'll just read three verses tonight, and there'll be a lot of things I want to say, really, from this verse tonight. And I want to talk tonight about the holy anointing oil. And it's very specific. It calls it holy anointing oil. It was made from five ingredients. And five is a number of grace. And it's because of the grace of the Lord that we are saved. And it calls it holy anointing oil. Exodus 30, verse 31 to 33. Of Exodus chapter 30, verse 31 to 33. Now shall speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. So I want you to get this key, and I'm going to go into this a wee bit tonight. It doesn't say generation. It says generations. And I want to try and bring out tonight the anointing that God put on someone 50 years ago won't do for me and you tonight. We have to have our own. Every generation has to have it. That's God's way. So generations, verse 32, upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy. It shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. These are so important. These are things I want to bring out tonight. Let's pray again this evening. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we've come again to worship you and praise you. We've come around the word of God to be instructed, to take instruction from your word. Lord, I pray that if I've sinned or done anything wrong in any way, forgive us, cleanse us afresh, wash us afresh, move us afresh with the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. Pray I'll bless everyone, and I pray even our brother has prayed already for Jim on it tonight. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, may he know the power and the presence and the healing of the stripes of Jesus Christ upon him tonight. I plead your blood over this house. I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Pray you'll help us to bring out these things, Lord, as they've come. And Lord, I just need your help. And I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's all the instructions, how it's to be made, what it's to be made from, and all these ingredients. We went into a lot of it last week on many different scriptures. And I want to try and just continue on tonight to bring out some things. It was to be holy anointing oil before the Lord. So this is before the Lord. You see, the anointing's not for to show off to somebody else. It's for the Lord and for the Lord's work. I want you to get that. It was significant of the Spirit of God. Nothing unholy was to be upon the people the Lord anointed. It's like sanctification. You know, people want the anointing, but the anointing does not come till there's sanctification first. Justification, sanctification, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God works in three. That's how it works. Justification, you believe in the Lord. Sanctification, you get cleaned up. Then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing comes on people that the Lord makes holy. Amen. And when we get saved and we get washed in the blood of Jesus, we become holy. We become clean because we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And the Word of God sanctifies us as well. Jesus says, you're now clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. See, anointed to the office and the ministry of the sanctuary, that's what this oil was put on them for. Here's another thing. It was to continue throughout all generations. This oil was to continue throughout all generations. Each generation must have the experience of the holy anointing oil of God. I want to really stress this as studying this and sitting in the office and really thinking a lot about this. People talk about the anointing, how God anointed so many wonderful men of God, and we love to read about it, and I love to read about it, but every one of us as individuals need the anointing of God ourselves. We need the seal of God, and the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. And every one of us need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're sealed not to the next revival, but unto the day of redemption. Amen. You can't be lost when you're sealed with that Holy Spirit. And every single generation must have the anointing of God. There must be the fresh anointing of the Spirit of God for service. And we can have a good service, but we need another good service. And then we come again and we need another service. And we need fresh oil every time we come. Amen. We need it fresh from the Lord. One generation cannot live in the anointing of a past generation. People's writing books today. You can grab the mantle of Smith Wigglesworth, or you can grab the mantle of William Branham, or you can grab the mantle. There's none of them mantles I'm interested in. God has his own individuals, but there's only one mantle. That's the mantle of the Lord. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit we want. God makes you. God does. I'm going to show you later on here that God doesn't want you like nobody else. He doesn't. He's against it, actually. He speaks against it. It's not to happen. It's not to be copied. It has to be real. Judges 2 and verse 10 says this. And also all generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And when you study Israel, there's a group come up. The group that was originally with Moses had the sanctification, if you like. They had the oil, if you like. But then another generation come up that didn't know about that, and they needed circumcision. And circumcision has a type for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have it. And you see, we can look back in days gone by to men that God used that had the Holy Spirit. But in this generation today, we need another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need it. We have to have the Holy Spirit. What they had was wonderful, but we need it. We need it in our day. We need it in our generation that we can continue on the work of the Lord. We need it. It was not to be poured upon man's flesh. These are strong instructions that the Lord gives here from these scriptures. And that speaks of the Adamic nature. That's the nature which every one of us has. Before we're saved, before we're born again, we're unclean. We're unclean before God. We're filthy before God. We had to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And this oil's not to be put on the flesh. That's what God's saying. Unregenerated human nature. Man's flesh. It's not to be put on it. The unregenerated. Understand what I'm saying. What God's saying here about this oil. God does not require the ministry of the flesh. You know, in the fallen, corrupt state. And I'm going to show you, people talk about people being anointed and receiving the Holy Spirit and they're not born again. I don't believe that. The Bible says they cannot receive it. There's someone can come on people, but the Bible actually says they cannot receive it. I'm going to show you that tonight. And you know there's the anointed ones at the end time. Matthew 24:24. But here it's forbidden to go on the flesh. And there's, this is something in this that we're to see. And the Holy Spirit, God doesn't just throw us Holy Spirit in people that's unclean, that's not born again. The Holy Spirit is for the believer. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, the believer. And you know, God did not require the ministry of the flesh. You know, and I want to say this, there's a lot today in so-called services, and there's a lot of flesh. There's a lot of flesh, and there's a lot of people want to be seen to be doing things, but it's all flesh. It's not really the Lord. But we want to have the real thing from the Lord, and the Lord has the real thing. We don't need someone that's not real. And you know, and I believe that religious flesh and anointing oil is not to be poured on such. That's not what it's for. But there is a group of people that's for. It was to be poured upon on no strangers. They weren't to have it. And one is a stranger, if they're not born again, if they're not the true Israel of God, they're strangers. Strangers from God. You know, how many knows that we're, that Paul says that we're Israel in the sense, spiritual Israel. We are spiritual Israel. Once we're born again. But people that are not born again are not spiritual Israel. This is not to be poured on them. Now, this will be a contradiction to what some people's taught. And I'm not talking about necessarily in this service, but it doesn't bother me at all because I can prove from Scripture the things I'm saying here. You see, we have to, it has to have the word test. And if it doesn't have the word test, what point is it? And look, let's read Ephesians. Let me just read a few verses in Ephesians just to show. I'm thinking of this Israel of God and all that. All right, verse 12 of Ephesians 2. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you are sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God and in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were made nigh. For through him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now there's people today talk about the Holy Spirit and our Holy Spirit, and they've split them. And I'm telling you now, that's false. There's no such thing as two parts of the Holy Spirit's one. How many believes that? There's one Holy Spirit. There's one genuine Holy Spirit by one Spirit. Now you could go to Corinthians and you could read this, for you're baptized into the body by one Spirit. Not two spirits. Not a part of a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And the real Holy Spirit that anoints a man, that's the real Holy Spirit. Amen. And I believe that tonight. Now verse 19, and therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all fitting the building framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord, in whom also ye are built together for an habitation through the Spirit. So it's all about the Spirit. But this oil is not for the stranger. It's for the real born-again Christian. That's what this oil's for. And here it's shown us in the Old Testament, they were forbidden. They're actually forbidden. They're forbidden to put it on the flesh. They're forbidden to put it on a stranger. We've read that. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit's not for the stranger, for anybody. It's for the born-again people of God. It's the seal of God. It's the power of God. It's the thing that comes on you and can make you speak in another language, can make you prophesy, and move in any of those gifts of the Spirit. It's the thing that comes in prophets and makes them God's mouthpiece. It's the thing that comes in evangelists and makes them preach a sermon and 1,000 people that get saved. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what does it. It's not the education does it or the learning does it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. The holy oil of God is meant for strangers. John 14, 17, even the Spirit of truth. Here's this verse. I want you to mark this verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can receive. It doesn't say that. This scripture says, whom the world cannot receive. Would you agree with me tonight, the world's the unsaved? The world's the unsaved, they're not believers. It says they can't receive it. Amen? And you know, the real evidence of the Holy Spirit is you can take the truth, isn't that right? And when you can receive the truth, because you've got someone that helps you. Here, the Spirit of truth is called. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when you receive the Spirit of truth, you won't deny the truth, you'll believe the truth. Amen. And thank God for the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it saved them not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. You can read in Acts 8, verse 14 to 24. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem and heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized right, and they still hadn't the Holy Ghost. I want you to get that. Now, does that mean they shouldn't have been baptized of God? Absolutely no. They should have been. Because they're now candidates for the Holy Ghost. Understand that. That's the prescription. Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And these people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit hadn't come on them yet, but it was going to come on them, wasn't it? They were candidates for it. Amen. But they hadn't received it yet. And I tell you, you know, you could say that to a lot of people today. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you believed. There's a lot of people say, believe this and believe this and believe this. But have they got the Holy Ghost? Well, I believe this and believe this. So that makes me have got it. No, the Holy Spirit is an experience. It is an experience. It's not just a saying or a doctrine. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an experience separate from salvation. It's a real experience. And when you get the experience, you'll know you've got it. You won't need to ask your pastor, do you think I've got it? You'll know it. You'll really know it. I'm telling you, when you get the Holy Spirit. So they're baptized right in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. There's some of the American evangelists today should read this verse, because they think they're banning and selling. All they're interested in is jet planes, big houses, and fancy cars. They're preaching the gospel of prosperity, but they're not preaching this gospel. They're actually like this fella here that was wrong. Amen. That's the truth. There's something wrong somewhere because the early church didn't preach what they're preaching, the way they're preaching it. So they're preaching another gospel then. Amen. Which is not a gospel. And the Bible warns us that we're to watch because many are preaching another gospel, which is not a gospel. And it warns us about them. Give us this power. Verse 20. And Peter said unto them, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in the matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore for thy wickedness, and pray God, and perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So the Holy Spirit can't be bought. It can't be taught in the sense of either. It's an experience. It's a real experience. And it's not for the stranger. It's for the real Christian. The real people of God. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. And there's been so much worrying about the Holy Spirit and the wrong people. Bless your heart. Forget about worrying about the Holy Spirit and the wrong people. Just you worry about you getting it. Don't you worry about nobody else getting it. Because when the farmer looked over his field and said, I'll tell you what, we need barley, but it'll not sow any. when we'll never have any. Amen. But some people so worried about what comes with the good or the bad or this and that. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit's nothing bad. It's all good. And it'll do you good. But it's not for strangers. It's for God's true people. It was not to be imitated by man. Not to be imitated. God has no imitations. We don't need another man. You can put on whatever name you want. God had one. That's what he needs. The next man has to be different. God always has the original. Amen. We don't need imitations. But there's a lot of imitations. If you've ever heard a man preach and you hear other men preach, you think, boy, he sounds like such the one because he's like him. And they're like him so much that if he had a certain movement, they have the movement. If he done a certain, if he done a certain thing with her, well, he's not copy mine, but anyhow. But is that the truth? But the Bible forbids it. There's to be no copying of it. It's not for strangers. It's not to be copied. God always has the original. God absolutely forbid imitation or similar compositions with this holy oil. So there's people can let on that they're moving in the Spirit. And they can let on they've got the Spirit. But when they go to cast the devil out, letting on won't work. It'll have to be the real genuine article. And when it's a real genuine article, them demons will scream out and come out. Amen. Substitutes or counterfeits for this anointing would come under divine judgment. That's the truth. Because they're false, they're not real. This, you see, there's so much of this today, you see. Benny Hinn started, and I'm not saying too much about Benny Hinn, but just to mention his name, because he's the man who started it. He started blowing people. Right, and that's all right, he blew on people, and then they took the scripture, the Lord blew on them and received the Holy Ghost, but there's only one difference, they're not the Lord. That's the difference. And then everybody started this thing that they had to blow on people, and then they took their coats off, and they took their coats off, and they stood like that, and threw the coat out of people and said, receive it, receive it. And you Catholics can have it, and you Protestants can have it, and everybody can have it. And they threw their coat over them, and they fell right over the floor. And in some places they barked like dogs, and other places they laughed and laughed and laughed. I'm telling you tonight, that's not what the Bible talks about. When the day of Pentecost fully come, Peter never took his coat off, and Peter never blew on them. But the Bible says, suddenly, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind from heaven. And cloven tongues of fire rested on each one of them. And the power of God came on them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the real Holy Ghost. Amen. And I tell you, there was none of that thrown about coats and stuff. And Peter himself was filled. But Peter recognized the scripture that it should come. And it should come in God's people. He read the book of Joel. He preached Pentecost. There you are. From the Old Testament. Like a brother John mentioned on Sunday, they preached from the Old Testament. And Peter preached the baptism from the Old Testament. For he said these scriptures must need be fulfilled. And he's quoting from the book of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men dream dreams, your young men see visions, and upon my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out of my Spirit in those days. That's the word of God. And it happened in the book of Acts. And I tell you, it was real. And you see, when Jesus sent them disciples out, even before that, the Holy Ghost, he gave them power under the Holy Spirit. He never said them anywhere at all, take the coat off and throw it over people and make them fall. Just none of that happened. But people's following stuff like that. And then the next thing they'll hear, the folly out, then the next thing they hear, who'll show £1,000 tonight? And they'll get people to go up, and then when they see people getting up, I want to give you, who's going to show 10,000 tonight? Sonny, he's going to show 1,000 tonight. I don't see no hands up yet. But it's all money. The Bible calls them greedy lookers. That's what the Bible calls them. And own jet planes and all sorts of stuff. You see, this speaks of the imitation of the divine anointing oil. It's wrong. Many day have substitutes for the anointing of the Spirit. And the last day, as we know, there's false Christ. False Christ. It doesn't say real Christ, it says false Christ. Matthew 24:24. And then the rich do great things, but the Bible says they're false. Amen. We need discernment, don't we? We need discernment so that we know. But this, you know, let's be honest about it. You fellas that know more about farming than myself, some of you, you know, when you go into a field of barley or wheat, it's no problem telling the difference in it and the wheat. They're not the same. Amen. And I tell you, you'll know the real. You'll know it. Do you know why? Because Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Amen. So don't ever worry about what you're going to know, because you'll know it. Amen. You'll know it. Praise God for it. Now, any who violated the commandment would be cut off. That's what it says as well in a reading in Exodus tonight. They'd be cut off. Those who were some to imitate, substitute, the holy anointing oil of Israel were to be cut off from the people. Cut off because of religious counterfeits of this anointing. They were to be cut off. So God does not want imitations, and God is against imitations. And there's a lot of imitations today, and people flock to the imitations. And the real thing, many a time, they don't know nothing about it. But they flock to an imitation. You know, to be honest, I'm just going to be honest with you, people want entertained. There's some old boy, it's on the radio and stuff, and I hear people at work talking about it. He's coming to some place, and they're all buying tickets to go. I wouldn't go around the corner there to see him. A she-meal. That's what I call them. She-meal. It's a man dressed as a woman. She-meal. Or he-meal. They don't know what they are. Dressed as a woman, and people paying tickets to go and see that. That's an abomination in the eyes of God. It's perversion. God's against it. He's definitely against it. We can see that the Lord gives exact information, exact revelation for making this holy oil. He gave the details how it was to be made from these five different things, and he gave the details what you weren't to do with it. The things you weren't to do with it. It was different from all other perfumes. It was not to be counterfeited in any way, or the person would come under the divine penalty. But then there's the real use of it as well. And I've put down here the divine use of this holy oil. There's a use for it, for this oil. And I probably have mentioned some of them already, but I'm just going to go over them basically, and it won't be much longer. God gave the very instructions concerning the use of the anointing oil, and there's a list of things. And I'm going to list you these tonight. I won't read all these scriptures, Exodus 30, verse 26 to 27. But there's a list what this oil was to go on. And now I want you to think of it. When you look at this list in the Old Testament, then I want you to see this greater oil, which is the Holy Spirit today. Amen? And this is why it's so important. I'm going to show you it's so important about the building. And people think, oh, it's a good, any building will do. God is specific on buildings as well, I believe. All right, let me show you it from this scripture. Exodus 30, verse 26 to 27. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation. So the very tabernacle was to be anointed with this oil, because it was consecrated for the Lord's work. There was nothing else to go on in that place. Amen? That's why it's so important if we have our own place. It has to be consecrated to the Lord. You see, if you have a dance on a Saturday night and a church service the next day, it doesn't work right. I'm being honest with you now. I'm telling you the truth tonight. It won't work out right. God can't move because it's not consecrated to the Lord. It's used for everything. This tabernacle was to be consecrated for the Lord, anointed for the Lord's work. You could read also in Exodus 40, verse 1 to 11, all the instructions of it, how they were to do it, what it was to be done for the Lord. And the Ark of the Testimony was to be anointed. The table of showbread was to be anointed. The golden candlestick was to be anointed. The altar of incense was to be anointed. The altar of burnt offering was to be anointed. The laver and the foot was to be anointed. And all the vessels pertaining to the articles were all to be anointed with this holy oil. Every single thing was to be anointed with oil. So the theory that it mightn't be for me is false. Some people say, oh, the pastor needs a Holy Spirit. Maybe the deacons need it, but I'm just a member. I'm just, sitting in the pew. I don't need it. No, you need it. Everybody needs it. Every single thing in this tabernacle was anointed with this holy oil. And every single one of us need anointed with the holy oil. Amen. Every vessel, it says, we're the Lord's vessels. We're vessels. Bring your vessels, not a few. That means as many as you can get. That's what that means. Not a few. It means as many as you can get. God will fill them. Praise God. The patriarchs are spoken of as the Lord's anointed in Psalms 105, verse 15, saying, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. So they're the Lord's anointed. Amen. Aaron and his priestly sons were anointed. They were anointed. Exodus 30, verse 30, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, and they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And it's so important that a man that steps in the pulpit is anointed of the Lord, because he's taking a priestly office. People might like the word priest, but it's in the Bible. And there's a real thing about it. It doesn't just mean a priest where you've confessed till. There's a pastor and a priest. It's the same thing, really. It's a priestly office. And I tell you, they had to be anointed of the Lord to take that office. They couldn't just jump in, but they were chosen to do it. Amen. And let's be honest. I know any of the brothers that preach here will agree with you. They'll tell you the same as I'm going to. We need the anointing to get up here. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's anointing. We need the congregation to pray for whoever's preaching, for the Lord's help, for the Lord's anointing. And then the minister needs to pray for the congregation, that for them to be anointed. And if the pulpit can get anointed, and if the congregation can get anointed, and if the sanctuary can get anointed, I can tell you God can move. But when you have other things going on, there's other things going on, it makes it more difficult. Let's be honest about it. And I'm not going to read Exodus 40, verse 12 to 16. You can mark it down. Also, lepers in their cleansing ceremony were to be anointed. This was part of their cleansing. The anointing. Hallelujah. I tell you, the Bible emphasizes this anointing. That's why I've went into it. That's why I stopped where I was at to really show this out. Try and bring it across a fat letter. I need it as well. I want the Lord's anointing. Oh, sure, I can go back to good meetings, but that was yesterday. We want the Lord today. Leviticus 13, verse 15 to 18. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean, it is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also is which, even in the skin thereof, was a boil and is healed. But they're anointed. You read in other scriptures where they're anointed. The priest anoints the leper with this oil. And I tell you, there's healing in the anointing, isn't there? You know, if you're going to pray for people, what helps? We need the anointing. We need the anointing. Amen. We need the anointing power of God. Also, the kings in Israel were anointed. Samuel 1, 9, verse 16. And we've read so much from Samuel. So you should be familiar with these scriptures, but let me read it. 1 Samuel 9, 16. Tomorrow by this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and I shall anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. And this started out showing where the three occasions Samuel was anointed in three separate times for the work for the Lord. And I would to God he would anoint us. Also 1 Kings 19. Verse 15 and 16. And the prophets were anointed at times. And you say, Brother Tom, anointed at times. Absolutely. Because the Bible says at some dry times. That means God at certain times moved them. He moved them. Now you know, even with the gifts, God has to move you. The Spirit moves you. And you could have a man, and maybe not much happens, and then the Spirit of God can move him. Or a sister can prophesy as well. And they can be moved with the Spirit of God. And we need moved at times. We need God to move us. And these prophets were moved. And when they're moved, they did strange things. But God backed it. Hallelujah. You can read 1 Kings 19:16. I'm almost finished. I'm going to read one scripture and then I'm closing. Revelation 3, verse 3 to 4. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they're worthy. I tell you, we want to be walking with the Lord. Now, I know you can refer to this for all the ages and all, but it's relevant for us today. We need to keep walking with the Lord. And we need the oil of God. Luke 14, verse 18, 19. The Lord Jesus Christ was anointed. He was anointed. I showed you on Sunday night. He's anointed to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is to make you sick. The works of the devil is to be against you, to depress you. All them things is the work of, let's just nail it. It's not the fault of your brother or sister, it's the devil. He's the one. Now he's the one you need to bind. He's the one you need to come against. You need to know who your enemy is. Amen? That's the devil. You see the significance of the anointing of these things or in these persons summing up. And it speaks of the Lord's anointed. And I tell you, the Lord was anointed. This holy oil is symbolic of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's symbolic of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All these things from the Old Testament, you can see it. Speaking of the Holy Spirit and quickening, illuminating power upon one who's anointed by the Spirit of God. And God can do it. You know, I know I have notes here tonight and the Bible here. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. I believe in that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you could come up here and God could anoint you with no note or nothing. And you could preach the best sermon you ever preached. And when you finished, you wouldn't get down and say, boy, wasn't I real good there? You see what I done? You'd get down and say, I don't know how I done it. I never prepared for it. That was the Lord help me. That's the Spirit of God. That's when God moves you. You could be in a sermon and nothing prepared and it just comes out. And you just go down an avenue and it's the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody. We need the anointing. Amen. Let's come and pray tonight. Let's be praying. A brother Gary's going to be preaching Sunday morning. Myself on Sunday evening. Pray for the meetings. Pray that the Spirit of God will anoint. Sanctify this very room. Sanctify each one of us. Fill us and bless us. Praise God. Come ahead.